Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to the broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. May I remind you up front, you're welcome to join in the dialogue and discussion, ask your questions. You may even want to disagree. That's your prerogative. We're not going to be disagreeable in doing so, but we'd love to have you call at 401-1413, 904-401-1413. We're going to be talking about today the question, are prayer vigils now unconstitutional? Are prayer vigils now considered to be unconstitutional? Ladies and gentlemen, when we study issues and we think about issues and we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then the Lord Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So as I emphasize on each of the broadcasts, what we say is not just hypothetical or some ideological, philosophical rhetoric. It's simply going back to the fundamentals of the truth book, the Word of God, the Bible. It's in the Bible that God speaks. It's in from the Bible that we have our authority as believers. It's only through the Bible that we can understand and know what God would have for us as a people. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it a little disingenuous. In fact, this is not part of the broadcast, but it just comes to mind. The Pope just said, you don't have to believe in God to go to heaven. Now, he said some horrible, unusual, outlandish things in the past 2 or 3 months. He's already said that hell doesn't exist. He's already claimed that if you follow him on his Twitter account, you can get fast-tracked out of purgatory. He said that God made gays that way, and so they don't have to feel like they're sinning. He's already said the Bible must be rewritten to conform with society. He says that America should not have walls for borders, that everybody should be welcome. He's already said that guns are bad and are sinful. And I could go on and on and on. So we're finding what I call a major collapse of what we would call moral ethical absolutes in society today. By the way, my question is the Pope even saved? Is he going to heaven himself? And I have a lot of opinions on that. You may agree or disagree, but that's another subject for another day. Are prayer vigils now unconstitutional? America, ladies and gentlemen, as no other nation on the face of the globe, has the freedoms constitutionally codified, found in our Bill of Rights, those freedoms that should not be tinkered with. We have our First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. That is the First Amendment. And ladies and gentlemen, if you take that out of the Bill of Rights, all of the others simply collapse into nothing. But our First Amendment gives us the freedom of religious speech, freedom of speech. However, almost every day we're watching and we're finding and we're seeing some liberal socialist judge that someplace in America, and it's happening almost on a daily basis now, that they'll rule against our most sacred liberty, the freedom of speech, including religious liberties, religious speech. Ladies and gentlemen, the battle against God, against His church, against the Bible and believers continues to rage as we watch these courts and their rulings against our religious liberties and freedom of speech. I think perhaps the most egregious on a regional basis, close to where we are, right down in Ocala, Florida. Let me just share with you a couple of brief articles. Perhaps you picked it up on online news. I've not heard any but Fox that's covered this. Early morning news, Fox covered it this morning. Ocala, we're talking about Ocala, Florida. Its police chief found to be liable for violating the First Amendment with anti-crime prayer vigil. Anti-crime prayer vigil. The article says, Dateline Ocala, the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Florida, Ocala Division, recently issued a decision finding that the city of Ocala and Police Chief Kenneth Gregory Graham violated the First Amendment by sponsoring or endorsing a prayer vigil. U.S. District Judge Timothy Corrigan wrote the May 24th order granting summary judgment to a group of atheists who claim Graham and the city of Ocala violated the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. While the Ocala police chief and his subordinates were no doubt well-intentioned, this order says, and sincere in sponsoring the prayer vigil, their actions violated the First Amendment, the court ordered. Now, ladies and gentlemen, based on this socialist judge's order, it's now unconstitutional to pray and to seek God's help. The plaintiffs allege that their complaint that a prayer vigil held on in 2014, held in the wake of crime spree that left several children injured, violated the Establishment Clause and prohibits government action that unduly favor one religion over another. The plaintiffs claim that during the vigil, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, several people led prayers and sang songs, but no one mentioned any effort to stop the crime. End quote. The mayor and the chief both argued that the event was not a governmentally sponsored activity. The city claimed it could not be held liable as the vigil was a fleeting incident not indicative of their policy. Judge Corrigan emphasized the Supreme Court rulings have made it clear that the government cannot sponsor a religious message such as the one in this case that states fervent prayer is needed to combat the recent crime spree. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're in sad shape in America when you cannot call for fervent prayer because it violates the Constitution. There's a further article on this that gives a little more clarity. This article says, coming from the Ocala case where the judge has now ruled that the city cannot have a prayer vigil, a fervent prayer vigil, asking God to intervene. It says, we're facing crisis in the city of Ocala, Marion County, that requires fervent prayer and your presence to show unity and help in this senseless crime spree that is affecting our communities. I am urging you all to please support a very important community prayer vigil that will be held this coming Wednesday. They gave the date. To be held at our downtown square located in the heart of the city. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about prayer vigils now being considered unconstitutional. Here's what the objectors had to say, ladies and gentlemen. We could have asked the community to report suspicious activities, or we could have called on politicians to enforce tougher gun safety laws, or we could have asked for more government funding for the police department, looking for ways to get people out of poverty, so some that don't feel they need to resort to crime. Instead, the city went to prayer, is the complaint from the group of atheists. Ladies and gentlemen, at one time in America, an anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-Bible group would have been ashamed to open their mouth and skin their ignorance, as some call it, spewing hatred and animus in the face of God. But it's become the norm today, and unfortunately with our loose, lax, lost liberal courts, they are appeasing the minuscule elements in society that want to tear down and destroy our nation and our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call us at 401-1413. 904-441-1413, joining in this dialogue and discussion. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your comment or your question, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Pastor. We really need to begin paying attention to the names of these federal and other judges involved in decisions. This name, Timothy Corrigan, has popped up a couple times in some issues I've been working over the years. And in all cases, as I have reviewed the things that he's done, it's been a decision that I'm not an attorney, obviously, but wasn't one that I agreed with or should have been made. And there were a couple of attorneys that mentioned in one case he should have recused himself, and he didn't. But we have a government or a nation, society, that's being run by federal judges. And this is not the intent of our Constitution. This has got to change. But that said, I want to do something that you have not asked me to do. This is exclusively my opinion to those in the audience that are listening. But you have a seminar that you're starting Friday night, and you're running all day Saturday. And I want to say on the air that if we're going to begin correcting the problems that we have in our country, typified by what you're talking about now in the federal judges, we're going to have to understand the times in which we live. The vast majority of Christians today do not understand the significance of the days in which we live. I know that you're going to present that intensely Monday, on Friday, and Saturday. And I urge anybody that is listening to your program today to call your church and get enrolled in that seminar and find out what's happening in these end times that we live in. It is evidenced by people like Timothy Corrigan and some of these other judges that are doing the work of the devil himself, in my view, in destructuring the Christian culture that we live in. Your seminar on Friday and Saturday is critical, and I pray that people will at least take my opinion for something. This is not anything you have solicited. It's coming straight from me. I know how important this seminar is. I have one fellow that I'm bringing up from Tampa to go to it. So I'm going to close off this commentary now. Thank you for talking about these disgusting federal judges, and thank you for putting on that seminar that you're doing on Friday and Saturday at First Conservative Baptist Church.
Well, wonderful. I really appreciate your comments, and let me also pick up on that statement. The seminar is The Panorama of Prophecy. It will be Friday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon at 6:30 to 9:30, and then 9 o'clock until approximately 4 o'clock on Saturday with an hour's break for lunch. And it will cover all of the eschatological prophetic text in relationship to from the rapture of the church to the return of Christ, the rule and reign of Christ, and then the rule throughout all of eternity. And so it's I will absolutely applaud that comment and encourage others to call 904-262-7777, the telephone number, or if you are in a place where you hear this or someone tells you, you can simply call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact information for someone to get back with you and get you registered for that seminar that's close on us. That's starting tomorrow night at 6:30, tomorrow afternoon at 6:30 until 9:30. Looking forward to having you to join us with that. Thank you so much for your comment and for your dialogue in relationship to where we are in America and the need. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by calling 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. But ladies and gentlemen, just as the courts now have ruled arbitrarily and capriciously so, in my opinion, it's not just something that is abnormal. It is becoming the normal. And at the same time things like that's taking place, this little socialist running around America named David Hogg that comes from Parkland, Florida, insisting that we ban guns, and now he has a tirade going, trying to get Laura Ingraham taken off Fox News because he doesn't like the things that she said about the borders and about the incarceration of those that have broken the laws crossing our borders coming into America. You would think, ladies and gentlemen, that any city, any American city with crime and murder and rapes and robberies, that there would be a desire to seek God. You would think that there would be a desire to find and have divine protection. but we're discovering fewer and fewer Americans who really believe in God, seek God, and seek after Him. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's a hurricane disaster, if there's a tornado disaster, if there is a major jihadist attack on America, all of a sudden you even hear the loose lacks lost liberal media anchors say that we need to pray. But now, all of a sudden, this judge is saying that's ruled in the Ocala case that it's illegal to pray. You know why this is happening, ladies and gentlemen? Because so many people in America that claim to believe in God do not believe in the same God that Christians believe in. Here's an article that says 80% of Americans believe in God, but the Pew Research found out what they really mean. We believe in God, Amy Grant famously saying in 1990s. Today, 4 out of 5 Americans will say the same thing. But according to a new survey by the Pew Research Group, what they mean by God varies a lot. In fact, the article goes on to say, pastors and theologians often warn Christians against ascribing to a God of their own making, knowing that not all who say that they believe understand God as described in the Scripture or in the traditional creed of the church. In the shifting spiritual landscape of the United States, Christians, too, can no longer assume that their friends and neighbors believe in the God of the Bible if they believe in God at all. Pew Research found that there are a variety of views about who God is. Many think that, well, God's just the man upstairs. He's a long-bearded, old fogey, rocking in a rocking chair that's not in control of this whole world. But ladies and gentlemen, God is sovereign. God is still on the throne. But I want you to understand that God's going to let America go the way America wants to go if we insist on divorcing ourselves from God and insist on having our own way rather than being obedient to what God would have us to do. You're listening to Dr. Youngblood. This is Let's Face the Issues. You can dial in at 401-14, join in this dialogue and discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, we're rapidly following the footprints of Europe and Canada with our anti-God philosophy. Here's an article that talks about what Canada's just done. Canada's Supreme Court rules against the Bible. Here's why we've been raising our voices for so many years and why we've said that those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. It's why we've said the LGBTQ activism was never simply about tolerance. It was always about the silencing of competing views. And a ruling that is sure to send shockwaves through the entire nation, Canada's Supreme Court ruled 7-2 against Trinity Western University Law School. In effect, what the court declared is that the universities must choose between biblical standards and accreditation. Put another way, the court ruled that Christianity and higher education are incompatible. I'm not exaggerating in the least, this writer says in this article. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just jump right in at this point. Conservative Theological University is certified by the Council of Private Colleges of America, and we are a member, active member of the Council of Private Colleges of Florida, Florida Council of Private Colleges, and we have never, ever sought, nor do we want, the standard secular accreditation, simply because of that very thing that I've said for the past 35 years, that once an institution, a university of higher education, accepts accreditation from the government, then the government's going to demand what you can teach, how you can teach, and what you cannot do. A conservative theological university cannot have any governmental interference with who we can hire as professors, what the theological dogma must be, what we must say or believe about the Bible or disbelieve about the Bible. And this is showing its head now in Canada, and there's a movement to do the very same thing in the universities, the colleges, and the academic institutions that are Christian in America. We need to wake up, smell the coffee, and understand where we're going as a nation. And it's taking place right before our eyes. And too many Christians are in the closet in silence, thinking that if I say nothing, do nothing, it won't be a bother to me. Here's another good illustration of that. Title of this article says, New Jersey Islamic Indoctrination Case Will Proceed as Judge Denies the School District's Motion to Dismiss It. The Thomas More Law Center is now trying to defend a family, a lady and her son, and a school district in New Jersey where they are indoctrinating students. You heard me right. Not just teaching, but fully indoctrinating students on conversion to Islam. This article says the federal lawsuit filed by the Thomas More Law Center on behalf of Mrs. Helschnath and her son claimed that the seventh grade students at the Chatham Middle School were forced to watch a disturbing set of videos in their world culture and geography classes, which seek to convert its viewers to Islam. Here's just a sampling of what the students learned by watching just one of the 5-minute videos. 1. God gave Muhammad the noble Quran. 2. The Quran is a perfect guide for humanity. 3. The Quran is divine revelation. 4. Islam is a shining beacon against the darkness of repression, segregation, intolerance, and racism. 5. The beautiful Quran is the guidance for the wise and sensible. Most astonishingly, the video ends with a call for the students to convert to Islam. It says, "May God help us all to find the truth and the true faith found in Islam." But that's not all, this article continues. A musical version of an Arabic poem plays in the background throughout the video. The lyrics describe Christians and Jews as infidels and praises Muhammad in gruesome detail for slaughtering them. Part of it says, "Their white shining swords red with the blood of infidels until they looked like meat on the butcher's block." Yes, that's happening in the United States of America, in the public schools, and it's not just in New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen. So don't put on your little fence and feel that somehow, some way, I can be safe in Duval County or in this part of Florida, because we're not. It's taking place across the nation, and I would challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, look at your students' textbooks, anything dealing with government, anything dealing with religion, any classes that teach that, and it's being permeated by the indoctrination of Islam. And yet we're told that you cannot have a prayer vigil because it's unconstitutional. We're told that somehow, some way, that we need to allow our students to be subjected to the Islamic indoctrination, and the parents have no authority or right to stand up, speak up, and say no. What's happening in Canada? What's happening in Europe is rapidly taking place in America. Most of Europe today has been Islamicized. Most of Canada today is controlled by Islamic dogma and tradition. Here's an article. It's about Europe, thank God, not about America, but it's the same as what is taking place. It says, "Girl 5 says grace at her meal and hell breaks loose." That's in Europe. "Make a joke about skin color and you're racist about gender orientation and you're a homophobic, about Islam and you're an Islamophobic, but Christians are a fair target." It happened at the Scottish State School, where the parent of a 5-year-old reports that her daughter was bullied for saying grace before the meal. The Christian Institute noted that the girl said other students around her had been making fun of her for praying to God. The 5-year-old saying grace before lunch is not hurting anyone, and she should be free to do that. "I do think it is becoming more difficult for people with faith that the school and the authorities have to do more to make sure schools are inclusive environment." The Free Church of Scotland Reverend, the pastor, pointed out that the growing problem of intolerance toward Christian students is becoming more and more evident. Ladies and gentlemen, you might say, what has that got to do with America? Because the same thing is happening in America. Just a few years back, one of the families in our church had a student that was at one of the local community governmentally controlled elementary schools called public school system. The 5-year-old daughter, preschool, kindergarten, in the lunchroom, bowing her head to pray and thank Jesus for a meal. The teacher came by and said, "Honey, why is your head bowed?" She said, "I'm praying and thanking Jesus for my meal." And the teacher screamed so that it could be heard all over the lunchroom, "You cannot do that here. This is federal property. This is a public school. You cannot pray. It's illegal." That was several years ago, ladies and gentlemen, and it's proliferated much since then. May I simply warn us to be careful. As Christians, we need to speak up, stand up, get out of the closet, be salt and light, be heard and be seen as God calls on us to be while we yet have opportunity. And the most egregious recent case, ladies and gentlemen, is found right in Dallas, Texas. Dr. Robert Jeffers Church, First Baptist Church of Dallas. He's preaching a special sermon this Sunday. It's called Freedom Sunday at First Baptist Church, June 24th. His church purchased two billboards for the advertisement for the special Sunday. The billboard said, special message is America is a great Christian nation. America is a great Christian nation. You would have thought he had shot the president. The billboard promoting celebration of faith and freedom at First Baptist Church, Dallas, were removed after complaints from Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlins and Dallas Morning News. The patriotic billboard campaign included the title of the sermon by Dr. Jeffers, what he planned to preach on the 24th. America is a Christian nation. We're told by the billboard company that the message was divisive. The sermon title was inspired, Dr. Jeffers said, by comments made by Supreme Court Justice John Jay and Joshua Brewer, both of whom describe America as a Christian nation. The message will present the historical evidence for the bedrock faith upon which America was founded, Dr. Jeffers said. However, the Dallas Morning News and Mayor Rawlins blasted the pastor's sermon, saying the sermon was hateful and divisive. He hadn't even preached the message yet. Won't be preached until this Sunday. And yet they assumed that it'd be hateful and divisive. And as a result of the complaint of one atheist, the billboard company, the attorney for the billboard company out of New York, put the company on notice in Dallas that they had to cancel the contract. And so the two billboards were taken down. In fact, the billboard company said, we're getting hammered by the media for the America is a Christian nation tagline on the billboard. A representative for Outfront Media, ladies and gentlemen, put that down. If you're in business, Outfront Media is the media that refused the billboard. If you're a Christian, if you're in an organization where your company buys billboard space, reject anything that Outfront Media has to say or offer. Find some other company. The church offered to revise the sermon title and simply ask the question, is America a Christian nation? But that too was rejected by the billboard company, the article says. Ladies and gentlemen, the good thing is another billboard company stepped up to the plate, and now Dallas, First Baptist Church of Dallas, has 20 billboards promoting America is a great Christian nation. America is a Christian nation. And here's another billboard company in Dallas, ladies and gentlemen. Texas billboard tells liberals to keep driving until they leave the state. Beautiful billboard. I'm looking at it. Said, liberals, please continue on I-40 until you have left our great state of Texas. The billboard on Interstate 40 tells the liberals to keep driving until they leave the state. The liberals, the billboard reads, please continue I-40 until you leave the great state of Texas. I am delighted to see some folks stepping up and being salt and light in the community in which we are living in. It is sad, ladies and gentlemen, that we sit back and somehow feel as Christians that we can have the anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-church mentality that's steamrolling over like a juggernaut running over the churches and the Christians today. I'm simply intolerant of their intolerance, and I am encouraging Christians to understand what we're faced with and to go back to the scripture. And the scripture says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from God and will heal their land. We need to pray to God. We need to humble ourselves, come before God and confess our sins that God can heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, it's needed today as no other time in the history of our nation. America is a Christian nation. We ought to be able to pray. We ought to have fervent, vigilant prayer time without the courts intervening. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.